Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Gardening can be a lot of fun, but as we all know, it's frustrating at the same time on many occasions. And my guests today, until 12:30, are the co-authors of a book about gardening. It's called Garden Rules, the Snappy Synopsis for the Modern Gardeners. And their goal is to demystify gardening and to share those rules that can make gardening much well, easier, more enjoyable. What about that? What are your garden rules? Is there a tip you'd care to share, or is there a rule that seems like everyone knows except you? What do you want to know how to do to make your garden less stressful and more fun? I hope you'll join in by calling us at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And don't forget to visit our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or leave a comment there. We'll be back right after the news. As a listener, nobody knows more about our programs and core values than you, so I hope you'll please take a few minutes to share your thoughts today. You can visit WPR.org and click on the program survey link to the top at the top of the homepage. Your opinions matter to us, and thanks a lot for listening, and I hope you'll fill out that survey. Just go to WPR.org. And also, I hope you stay with us here as we visit with our two guests, who are the authors of the book Garden Rules, the Snappy Synopsis for the Modern Gardener. Those authors are Jamie Jenkins and Billy Brownell. Both have a lot of experience. Jamie, for example, is host of the Home and Garden podcast Nest in Style. Billy is a longtime editor of gardening books, so it's great to have them with us. And certainly if you have a question, or maybe you've got a rule or a question about a rule, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And ladies, we have an email from a caller in, from a caller in Prairie du Chien wondering, what rules do you have for what tools are the basics that all gardeners should have? And are there any that really aren't that necessary? Jamie, you want to try that? Or Billy, who's going to try that?
Well, we don't necessarily have a rule that talks specifically about these tools should be, you know, your go-to arsenal for the garden. But there are a lot of tools that are out there that are just gimmicks. You definitely need some sort of cultivation tool, which I like to use a hand trowel or a soil scoop. Mm-hmm. You'll need a weeding tool. Okay, so whatever your favorite weeding tool may be, there is tons of them out there. I tend to like the ones that can get out the dandelion, those long tap roots. Those are probably the most difficult. And then you'll need like a rake, something to spread your mulch, your compost, and that kind of thing. So to me, those are my three main tools that I'm always sure to have with me when I go out in the garden. What about you, Billy?
There is a rule, and now I'm flipping through to actually find the title. You'd think we'd have this memorized by now. It does have some suggestions, which are really pretty much what Jamie just described. But I want people to know I have literally used a screwdriver to weed and to plant.
You're kidding.
Not kidding. Well, it's great for weeding. You know, you're just walking through and you're like, oh, a dandelion. And all I had was a screwdriver because I was changing a light bulb or something silly, and used it, and it worked really pretty well. So don't be afraid to use unconventional things. Just remember that plant roots are very strong. I've broken some tools because I really worked at it a little too hard.
Glenn in Madison has a tip for it. Well, look for if you find that, let us know here, and let's go to Glenn in Madison. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes. What's on your mind?
I got a very simple garden compared to a friend of mine who puts like 10 bags of dried cow manure, spends $30 for a guy to go and till his garden. Weeds all summer. What I do is I just go into my garden the way it is over winter. I take my shovel, and I only have tomato plants, asparagus, and rhubarb. So I just take a shovel where my tomato plant's going to be. I dig a hole, and I put my plant in and water it. And when the weeds get too high that I can't see them, I just go in there with my weed eater, and I weed eat around the tomato plants. I put a little tomato plant fertilizer on it a couple times a year, and that I get very good tomatoes.
Wow. Well, Jamie, what do you think?
Well, hey, I say whatever works. I mean, if that works for him, then that's great. And as long as he's getting those delicious tomatoes, and, you know, your rules are your rules, right? In your own backyard. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Not a slave to my garden.
Yeah.
Good thinking. That's what we like. You know what, Larry? I think it was one of the ones that didn't make the cut. You know, we have enough for a second book.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could only be so long. And I think that's one of the ones that we had and didn't actually use.
You know what, Billy? I actually found it. And there's no substitute for a quality tool.
Yeah.
And we do talk about the different types of tools, not specifically like names. Like
there
the,
it is.
The
yes,
Cobra
it is.
Head. Yeah, it's the last page. And, you know, to Billy's point is, and to the rules, it just explains you should spend as much money as you can, you know, on the tool that you can afford, because I live in a place where there's a lot of big river rocks, and I have broken some hand trowels off the tip because it was made out of cheap metal. So I no longer buy cheap tools that end up in the landfill, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I do like your comment about gloves, too, because gloves are something that are really nice to have when you're out there gardening.
It is, and I was talking about this with someone else. Is you can get cuts and nicks and this and that, and if you're dealing with compost as well as like well-aged manure and that stuff, you know, just picture it, all that grime,
yeah,
dirt and bacteria getting into your open wounds, you know, you can create tons of problems, not to mention, you know, your skin. I don't know, you know, I'm sure every well, you know, experienced gardener can look at their hands and think that they're 20 years older than they actually are. You know, the soil and the sun is really hard on your hands, and gloves can help protect your skin and make it, you know, keep it looking nice.
We've got a Glenn in Wausau wonders if you have a garden rule for letting ground go fallow or other ways to give it a rest and rejuvenate it. Billy, or
there's not a rule in the book, but that actually is a very good rule. And a lot of people don't give land a rest. You know, sometimes it just needs a rest. This is a very big farming maxim to live by, is just letting land go fallow.
Yeah, I would agree. And we had a note from someone else. We get questions about herbicides. And maybe you could talk a little bit about the one section that you have, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of Roundup. And a lot of people are, you know, just would rather not.
If you would rather not, you really shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, that's serious stuff. And I actually do use it, but I use it with care and thought about when and how and runoff, and I don't use it indiscriminately. You know, there are some good things that happen with chemicals, and I know that a lot of people don't agree, but they're fast, and sometimes there's nothing else really that works as well. But you really have to think about the entire process, and you aren't just killing plant roots. You're killing everything around that plant. So if you don't want that, then you shouldn't use them.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie Jenkins and Billy Brownell, our guests today, authors of Garden Rules, the snappy synopsis for the modern gardener. You have a rule of your own or maybe a question to share to ask, I hope you'll join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And Jamie, landscaping can be at best an afterthought, at worst a never thought. You promote the idea that gardens are like women, more beautiful with curves. I don't like that. Why?
Well, I put that in there because, and really the idea of it is gardening with nature in mind, because a lot of landscape designers will take cues from nature. I mean, nature really does do it best in on a lot of different fronts. But when you're thinking about adding curves to the garden, I mean, you don't really go out into the woods and find straight pathways. They're always, you know, bending around curves and around big trees and this and that. And if you incorporate that into your backyard garden, you know, it just is a more welcoming area for yourself, for your visitors. It will encourage people to come out and linger throughout your garden. I mean, certainly straight lines and straight paths have their place in formal gardens, and they can direct focal points and whatnot. But it's just going to be more of a natural, more carefree type of garden when you're adding curves, because that's what nature does, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, Billy, another thing I really enjoyed, you liken annuals and perennials to children and trees and shrubs to teenagers or litter box trained cats.
Exactly. Well, I have the litter box trained cats. So I have experience with that. I have nephews, but not children of my own. But I would hear people talk about, you know, going off and leaving the kids, and they left them enough food in the fridge to take care of themselves. But you can really go off and leave some plants, but not all.
Yeah, and some have to be watered and cared for, not every day, but almost every day.
Almost every day. Sometimes in drying weather with winds, you may get a lot of wind up there. Wind is very drying.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Kathy in Southern California. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, we live in Southern California in the Coachella Desert, and we would like to have a garden, so we started buying pots, and then one of our friends told us about the idea of just buying a large bag of potting soil, and we cut the bottom off, and we cut the top off, and we plant our seeds right in the top, so it keeps it off the ground from the rabbits that are in our yard. And it makes an easy, without buying a whole bunch of pots, makes an easy way to have a garden.
Well, now, how do you hold the bag up?
Mm-hmm. Well, you press them against each other.
Oh!
In a group. So it also, because I'm 65, I'm not on the ground. I have a little stool, and the bags are, you know, the plants are a lot higher.
Well, yeah, and keeping the soil in enclosed in that bag, I would assume it keeps the moisture in a lot better as well.
Well, it does. And, you know, to pick, especially in the desert, to pick bags that have the white plastic, but we also punch holes, you know, throughout the bag so the water seeps out, but the bottom's cut off, and it's just in a sandy area, sand plot.
And then go ahead. Do you reuse them?
No. No, I don't. I have a wonderful rose garden. So at the end of the season, I just take the bags for mulching and add it to the rose garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then start over when it's time to do another, because we have definite seasons, like all of our lettuce and everything is gone now. So our tomatoes are at the end, and so now I'm planting chard and just some things like that are heat hardy.
Right. Kathy brings up a good point, you know, not reusing your soil that you're planting, let's say, tomatoes in, because a lot of soil-borne funguses will overwinter, and so it's best not to use the same soil and to start over.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yep. So little did you know, you're actually doing the proper soil rotation technique. So.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your show.
Oh, and thanks very much for calling. What a cool idea.
It's a great idea. I love it.
We have Jean in Brookfield up next, so let's go there. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I have a question about an old vegetable garden that I'm not using anymore, and it's been not used for a few years, but I still have kept it without anything else, and except my lawn grass is creeping in. But I'd like to maybe make it into a perennial garden, but I'm trying to figure out how to soften up that soil so I can roller till it easier and get the weeds out, and nothing's worked for me yet.
Well, we don't really necessarily have a rule that addresses that, but I know that I've been talking to a number of other gardeners on the Internet, and they have recommended the no-dig or the no-till technique, and that would be lasagna gardening. I don't know if you've heard of that. Have you heard of that, Jean? Okay, well,
no, I haven't.
Yeah, the idea is basically you can do it on top of grass as well, is that you cover, let's say, with very thick sheets of newspaper or even cardboard, because newspaper and cardboard are biodegradable. Just try to keep the color paper out, you know, of the garden and use the black and white. Cover it with compost and cover it with leaf mulch and all that kind of stuff. I would probably say a good, you know, 6 to 8 to 10 inches, and just kind of let it sit over a season, and you'll see that whatever's growing in your bed right now, if given a long enough period of time, it will just kind of it will decompose naturally. And then that that microbial activity that will be decomposing your plants that are in there now will help make that soil a lot more workable. And
okay, sounds good. So about 6 to 8 inches of paper or cardboard.
Well, I would say, not 6 to 8 inches of cardboard, but, you know, a good thick layer just to smother the plants that are in there. And if you have tall plants, maybe just weed whack them down as low as you can. Put the newspaper down, put some compost, you know, kitchen scraps, yard debris, and all that sort of stuff. And then maybe a good 6 to 8 inches of that, and then maybe add another 2 to 4 inches of, like, leaf mulch that you can get from your city, which is free. Or if you've got some leaves around your yard, you can just rake them up and put them on top and just let it sit for a while, like a good 6 to 8 months or so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds really good.
Give it a shot. I actually think it'll work, although watch out for the leaves you use. You don't want to use black walnut, for example.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
Something to remember. Judith, our producer, has a rule that she tries to live by but isn't always successful. She says, grow what the garden wants to grow, but not necessarily what she wants to grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thought.
Yeah, I think kind of the way I interpret that is, you know, work with what you have.
Yeah. You've got certain types of soil.
Yep.
You have a certain amount of shade and sun. And you kind of have to know, well, if the, you know, if my soil is one type and my... And I've got full sun. I can do one thing, but hey, if it's pretty shady, I got to think about some other things.
Absolutely,
that's sort of the right plant, right place philosophy in gardening. Is basically it's work within your environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder. Well, let's go to Peter in Kingston, Wisconsin. Hi, Peter. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I just wanted to mention a couple of things. The first, with my tomato plants, how I do it is I'll plant four tomato plants right together and then put a pole in the middle. One year I used a flagpole, but anyway, about 8 feet tall, and they grow up that pole, and I tie them off with pieces of, like, shirts or rags, and then they support each other as they grow up, and they get huge, and they produce a lot of tomatoes. And the second thing is fertilizer. The only fertilizer I ever use is from the lake. I'll fill up a 55-gallon drum of lake water, and you don't have to do it all the time, but it's good to use that because it has a lot of microbes in it, and the plants just eat it up, and they just grow like crazy.
That's fascinating. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah, well, and actually, to be perfectly honest, in a lot of lakes, there's a whole lot of phosphorus
runoff.
Runoff and nitrogen, too. Well, most of them are phosphorus. But, I would think that would lake water would provide would be a really good source of nutrients for plants. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it. We've got Joan in Eau Claire next. Hi, Joan.
Hi. Another quick mulch question for a rookie gardener like myself. I thought I would try some mulching around the vegetable garden that I'm growing. I'm wondering if cocoa bean mulch is a very wise choice or not.
I don't have experience with it. It's really not. If it's sold in my area, I don't know it.
Okay.
Do you have?
I'm concerned about the mold that seems to grow on some. I guess cocoa bean mulch tends to have that propensity.
It does get awfully moldy after it. I tried it once on in some flower garden area, and I got away from it. And then do you have a dog?
Yes.
Chocolate. It can be very toxic to dogs. So, and cocoa. So, I know it's not recommended for folks where dogs might have access to the area.
Yeah. If you do find any kind of mold, whether it's with this kind of mulch or not, does that tend to kill the plants?
You know, it can, and it, you know, depends on what it is, but I would think any sort of fungus is not great for plants unless it's beneficial fungus. You know, and going back to your mulch question, I'm a big proponent for whatever I put on top of my soil, I also want it to be a benefit to my soil. And, you know, like with the cocoa mulch, you said, it, you know, to me, it would take a long time to decompose. So I don't like that as well. And whatever I want that mulch to do, like I tend to use leaf mulch, or I tend to use a compost combination that I get from my local forest product service. You know, they have a nice dark mulch. It's not that, you know, that orangey stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks nice. It breaks down. You do have to apply it every year, but it's good for the soil. I mean, it'll...
Oh, good, sure.
All right. Thanks for calling, Joan. Appreciate it. And Dave in Minocqua, we're on to you now. Hi, Dave.
Hi. You guys have a great show. I've got tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, and kohlrabi, but I'm not calling about them. I wanted to get something in here that I found out there was a gentleman some years ago that found out that if he pounded 1.5 to 2-inch galvanized roofing nails, of course they coat them with lead, and you go 1 foot above the surface of the ground, 1 inch apart around the trunk of the tree, he actually killed the little insect that caused Dutch elm disease without spraying, without harming the tree. The tree just loves the lead. It goes right up in the phloem of the tree up to the crown, and it gets rid of them. And I found out, now this is just precursory, but I found out it's working on my oak trees here too. Some kind of oak wilt was starting to move in here and some other stuff, and I found out it works on a variety of trees. I know this might sound really off the mark, but if a person tries it with their trees, I can almost guarantee you it'll help your trees.
Hmm. That's something I've never heard of, and I don't know, obviously don't know of any research done in that area. Comments from Billy? Billy, how about you?
All I can tell you is that years ago, reading something, there was an old-fashioned method of actually planting vegetables, something with a nail. I just thought it was an old thing.
Yeah, you certainly wouldn't want to mix lead with your edibles. I would recommend the Master Gardener, the Extension Service. I mean, any kind of questions like that, I always defer to the Extension Services in your area.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. How's the Garden Rules book doing, by the way?
I should check the sales because I have that ability. I haven't. I think it's doing well. It's a fun little book. It's a nice little gift. It's something that you can give to, you know, a coworker who's having a birthday. But I'll find out and let you know, Larry.
It sure is a lot of fun to read through, and I like the fact that you got in one page I get an answer to a question.
And you know, I want to be clear that this is not, you know, in-depth gardening, but
no.
When we say for the modern gardener, for us that's the out-of-time gardener. So to actually have something that you can read quickly and it's concise, that was our goal.
Well, you've succeeded. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. It was fun having you.
Lots of fun to visit with both of my guests today. Jamie Jenkins, who is host of the Home and Garden podcast, Nest in Style. Billy Brownell, longtime editor of gardening books, and their latest book is called Garden Rules, the Snappy Synopsis for the Modern Gardener. Fun to have them with us today. I really appreciate it. Tomorrow, just to let you know what's going on tomorrow, we'll talk with Mitchell Zukoff, who is the author of Lost in Shangri-La, a true story of survival, adventure, and the most incredible rescue mission of World War II. Thank you for listening. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.